This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
How's everybody today? Everybody's doing well. Todd, hope you're well.
I'm quite good. How are you?
Great. Missy Matthews in the final half hour today. Next half hour, our first high school football roundtable of the season. It may be the third week of August, but high school football starts tomorrow. So what do you think, Todd, this opening half hour, by the way, brought to you by the great people at NIL Game Changers, your ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. I don't care if it's a business, athlete, whatever. They'll get you going and send you in the right direction at NILGameChangers.org. That's NILGameChangers.org. So, Todd, they made this move a couple of years ago to push the season back, start it in August. And not only started in August, but there will be two games in the month of August this year, the 23rd and the 30th. And even if you're playing Saturdays, it's the 24th and the 31st. Like that, was it? I think Bishop McDevitt and Harrisburg, I think, both play on Saturdays. But what was your thought when they first did it? And what's your thought now that you've gone through it a couple of years?
I do think I like it just because I can very clearly remember in 2009 when Selinsgrove Grove won a state title that it was exactly 7 days before Christmas, and I think that's a long time for a high school football season to last. Yeah. I like it in the fact that, you know, winter sports, if especially around here, if you're fairly successful in football, you were out of, you know, you weren't getting your football players to late December, early January sometimes, and that was an issue too. You know, I can remember, you know, I think Terrell Pryor did it after a state championship game, hopping in the car and making the basketball game that night. And I remember Julian Fleming being a freshman when they lost to Steel Valley in the state championship game. It was like a noon Saturday game, and they all went up and played basketball in the tip-off tournament at Berwick that night. So it's just a lot. They've also gone to they've allowed them to start the winter season a week early now too. So they were like they did not start before the state championships. It was usually the week after the state championships, and now the opening night of high school basketball was the same Friday night as the high school football championships.
Okay. No, I'm not really offering any opinion on it. I don't have to live it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't. I mean, I just have to be a fan of it. That's why I asked you. You have to live it, which I think is, you know, I think that's important. As a fan, I'm like, hey, okay. You know, I've felt that, I mean, the one opinion I do have, which I don't know which level it is. You tell me in District 4, where they have 8 teams in the playoff. Wrong. Okay. There are a couple things. There shouldn't be more than 4 in the district playoff. Sorry. And number 2, no team under 500 should ever be in.
And that's probably my biggest issue right now, is that I think there's, if nobody opts out, and with the way 3A and 2A were, which both got 8 teams, they they were, I think it was 34 of 37 one year of District 4 playoff teams, District 4 football teams made the playoffs, which obviously dilutes the playoffs and doesn't make it as mean as much. So I'm kind of on that. I agree with you on that. And the other big thing it took away was that second scrimmage for most teams. And I think if there's one thing I think most coaches would want is a way to figure out, you know, a way to keep the 16 weeks and get that second scrimmage back.
Yeah, I can understand that. I'm not so concerned about the second scrimmage because at least having a scrimmage against somebody else, because I'm in college football. There are none. The NFL has three preseason games. High school football at least has one scrimmage. College football has none. And that's why I look at it and go, okay, you know. So a little different attitude on my part about that. But when it comes to the district playoff, I'm sorry, it's four max. And the district people don't like what I'm saying. I really don't care. Okay? You need four max and nobody under 500. Zero. I don't want to hear about opt-ins or whatever. Opt-in to what? Sorry, you did not earn it. You did not earn it. And that's, I mean, this is all about earning things. This is not participation trophy time. It's the playoffs. You have to earn your spot. Anybody under 500 absolutely did not earn their spot. And you cannot tell me in no uncertain terms, oh, no, the kids earned the right to, oh, please. It's the playoff. He gave you 10 weeks. You didn't get it done. Next.
To be honest, it's not those teams that want to keep it. It's the higher seeds, especially, I know this goes to basketball, but a lot of times our 1-8 games in basketball are 4-8, 6-win teams against the best team
right in
the area.
Exactly. Okay, it's the playoff. You got to play somebody. Okay, 1-4, done.
Yeah, but they don't want the extra week off. They want the game. They don't want to, you know, just coaches being coaches for the most part. They don't want that. Like if it's a 1-8 and doesn't get the 500, they still want to play number 8 because they don't want that extra week off, and they don't, I guess, not get, you know, lose their edge or something like that. But I just, some of these better teams are, I feel, would be better off scrimmaging themselves because their second team's probably better than this than the starters on the team that won four games.
Well, just get into the playoff the next week. Just go from what? Just get into it. What, bye week? Bye week for what? Just go play. There's no need for a bye week. You know, they'd rather play the game than have the week off. Just play. Why don't you just play the 1-4 game that week?
Well, with the way the PIAA has them set up, the playoffs set up, that's why they get those 8 teams, because if those 8 team brackets would be 4 team brackets, you'd either get a week off before the end of the season or a week off before you go into the state bracket.
Just play. Golly. I mean, there are too many teams in the playoffs.
Yes.
It's a playoff for a reason. It's supposed to be cream of the crop now playing. Now, the NFL, has the NFL ever had, for example, an under 500 team in the playoffs? Yes, but because they wanted a division, and that's the rule. Okay. College football playoff? Has anybody ever been in with 2 losses? Okay. No. Nobody's ever been in 2 losses.
Until this season, obviously.
Well, we'll see how the season plays out. It may not. You may not have anybody.
That's true.
We don't know. I mean, we're going to have to find out. But I'm talking like 2 losses here. I didn't say they were 6-6. You get to go a bowl game at 6-6. But when you're talking about the state championship, start weeding people out. You've got to weed people. If the playoffs are about weeding people out, okay, I gave you 10 weeks, you didn't get it done. Thanks. Your kids may be great, great kids. You may be a terrific guy as a coach. But your record's telling me that the season is over. That's me. Every time we get to this playoff thing, I hear a lot of excuses. Well, what? It is the playoffs. Okay? When the NCAA basketball tournament comes up, are there automatic qualifiers because of conference champions? Yes. Could you be under 500? Possibly. Right? Every at-large team is over 500 and by a margin. Now, every at-large team is also coming off a loss. That's part of being an at-large team. You're coming off a loss. Why? Because you didn't win your conference tournament. But women's volleyball tournament, right? There may be a conference champion that's under, but you're talking about one out of 64? Come on. I'm sorry, we get to the playoffs and we get, no offense, ridiculous matchups in the first round. And I'm talking, which then leads to ridiculous scores. When's the last time a one played an eight, Todd, and eight gave one a game? Where you sat back and went, didn't see that coming.
I don't think I have, to be honest. I can't even come up with one.
Exactly, because all those 1-8 games are routes. Really? We all feel good about that? Opt in. Okay? You opted in for 10 weeks. It didn't work. You're done. Okay. Sorry. It's the playoff. You have to have a different attitude about the playoffs compared to the regular season. You have to. It's a playoff for a reason. You have earned the right to be in the tournament. Okay? If you want to just make it an 11th regular season game, so be it. You can do that. But if it's going to be called a playoff, you have to earn your way in. A 3-7 team did not earn their way in. They may have had a tough time with injuries. They may have had like several close losses. So they're probably a good team. There could be a 3-7 team that's probably a good team, but because of injuries or narrow misses and so forth, the record comes out 3-7. I understand that. But because I'm not a big believer, I'm not even remotely a big believer in the Bill Parcells, your record is who you are. I've never believed that. I always thought that was one of the biggest junk statements I ever heard in my life. Okay? Because there are always circumstances surrounding whatever the record is, including a great record. You may have a team with a great record, and they won every single close game. I'll give you one. How about the Vikings? Remember the Vikings 2 years ago? They won every close game. I think they won something like 9 one-score games. They were like 9-0 in one-score games 2 years ago. Remember that? And the Giants went in the opening round of the playoffs and beat them. Like, okay. So you can have circumstances where you have a great record, no injuries, one-score games, made just a whatever. Circumstances fell in your favor. And it can go the other way. You end up 3-7. Got a couple of key injuries, especially in big games. Lost a couple of really close ones where just one play could have made the difference. Are you a bad team at 3-7? No, but you're still 3-7, and I need teams over 500 in the playoff. And I only need the top four in the playoff. I don't need eight.
And I've written this a couple times, and that's my thought on the second scrimmage. If you shorten the playoffs and get some of those teams out of the playoffs, you can give them that week back at the beginning of the season for a second scrimmage.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm just saying that's the biggest fault I have with high school football, especially in this area. The biggest fault I have with high school football in this area is when they get to the district playoff. Too many teams in two divisions, right? So there's what? How many divisions are there?
There's six, but we only basically have four here. Four. We don't have any of the big schools.
So of the four, two of them have eight in it.
Correct.
Those two should have only four. Sorry. Just get on the calendar with everybody else. Play ball. Okay? If you did not earn your way in, and see, again, I didn't say you deserve to be there. You didn't earn your way in. There's a big difference between, oh, the kids deserve it. No, the kids need to earn it. Okay? Okay, this is the playoff now. Okay? It's a little different ball game at that point. And that's the biggest fault. Well, they're the number eight seed. They were 2-8 this year. But, you know, they opted in. They want to play the game. Oh, jeez. Really? No offense, but it's playoff time. Okay, it's time for the cream to play. 2-8. Now, in this particular year, you weren't the cream. And we've seen 2-8 teams play in the playoff, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You didn't earn it. It gave you 10 weeks. You didn't earn it. It wasn't like, you know, like you had two bad weeks. You went 2-8. You didn't earn it. And that's the biggest criticism I have for the end of the season. Regular season? Oh, I don't care about the matchups in the regular season. Games are games on Friday night. It's just fun to be in a Friday night. I can't really get to as many high school games as I used to. And, you know, I'm not going to get into all the circumstances as to... I can get there, but it's got to be whatever. I'm not going to... You feel like if you go, you have to hold a press conference? How about that? Say, what about tomorrow's game? Okay. I think I'll stay home. So you do have to do things like that. Like, hey, you know, I probably shouldn't go out tonight. All right. We'll take a break. Opening half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, your ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. Go to NILGameChangers.org.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
All right. Jahan Dotson's now a member of the Eagles. Eagles made a trade today with the Washington Commanders and an outstanding receiving corps, and they are outstanding. What an upgrade. You go from Quez Watkins to Jahan Dotson. In a couple of years. That's your third receiver? That's your slot receiver? To go with Devontae Smith and Brown? Jahan Dotson is a huge acquisition for Philadelphia. That's big. Give a couple of draft choices. Yippee-dippee-doo. But that is a big acquisition for Philadelphia. So they get Dotson and a fifth-round pick next spring in exchange for a third-round pick and two seventh-round picks next spring. So now you've got an offense with Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Jahan Dotson, Saquon Barkley, and Dallas Goedert. They also have Paris Campbell. Dotson to me in the NFL is a terrific slot receiver.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Time for the high school roundtable, our first one of the season. This half hour being brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. So,
we are still waiting. I did talk to everybody in the break, but we're still waiting for them to call back.
Okay, well, just tell me one at a time here. As soon as they get on, just
everybody
come on.
All at once.
give me a shout out, and we'll go from there. That'll
definitely
be good. Yeah,
definitely.
So, big opening week. By the way, did you see that the manager of the Staten Island Little League team ripped Aaron Judge?
I did. I didn't. I was a little surprised that it came to that, actually.
The Yankees, of course, are all defending him and blah, 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 blah. Okay. What's this guy's name now? This guy's name is Bob Laterza. And Laterza said that several Yankees, including Aaron Boone, Gerrit Cole, Jason Dominguez, met with his team before the game with the Tigers, adding the Judge did not. And then he was talking about Judge in the on-deck circle and the kids yelling his name and didn't look back and so on and so forth. They say Staten Island played on Sunday. Our players went out of the way to spend time with them in the moments immediately before the game against the Tigers. And a lot of people then defended Judge after that and so forth. That's, I couldn't begin to tell you in a million years what I will say this. I do know from a good friend of mine that worked the game, that Major League Baseball was very disorganized about the game, including putting the Yankees as the home team in the home team dugout originally, and they were not the home team. They were the visiting team. Like, whoops. Hey, guys, okay, you didn't notice they played in Detroit the last 2 days? That's a good friend of mine who worked the game said one of the biggest problems with the game on Sunday night was the disorganization of Major League Baseball surrounding the game. So,
all right, Chief is ready, sir.
Chief, how are you, buddy?
Doing real good, Steve. How about yourself?
Doing great. I'm getting the feeling that there is a level of optimism of improvement around this Shigalemi team. Would that be accurate?
Yes, I'd agree. I know Coach Kaiser and his staff seem to be looking forward to the season. They said they have the kids have worked real hard, and again, they're going to be young, but there are some veterans because last year they played a lot of freshmen, and those kids are now sophomores. So, again, you know, it's one of those situations where we'll find a lot out tomorrow night when they play against Milton.
So let's get to the quarterback situation in all this, because, look, the one problem Shikalemi had last year was generating any kind of offense. What do you see there?
Well, I think Brody is probably one of the best quarterbacks in the Central Susquehanna Valley, and he's got some good receivers, especially his sophomore Thomas Pollock. The real question is going to be, can they keep let him get the ball off? I mean, I think Coach Kizer went back to kind of using the Delaware wing T, which means you're going to see your quarterback doing a lot of running plays to get ready to throw the ball. But again, you've got to block, and that's one thing that's really important. The other thing is, will the running game help? In other words, we got to be two-dimensional. You can't just throw the ball all the time. And that again, will be something that is up to the line, the offensive line, to make it successful or not.
All right, so now let's get to the defensive side. What does Kizer like about the defensive side of the ball that can make a difference and keep his team in games?
Well, I think the fact that they're pretty physical, and there's a couple of really good athletes, especially playing, the second level of defense, which would probably be your four linebackers or two linebackers and two outside ends. So that's something that's important. Plus, again, if I remember correctly, at the end of the season last year, the defensive backs were all ninth graders or 10th graders. So they, again, are back. And they're a year older, and they've worked in the weight room, and they've been doing a lot of drills this summer before the conditioning started and regular season practice. So, it's a matter of, did they get good enough to stop some of these potent offenses that we are going to run into?
So let's get to Milton now, because Milton has a really good offense. I mean, what are some of the key matchups, in your opinion, tomorrow night's game?
Well, number one, I think they have to stop the Milton's running back. And I apologize, I forget what his name is. But that as a freshman, he had a terrific season. And then I believe he had an ACL tear. So he missed the season. And when he finally got back, it was the first time that he had actually worked out. And probably in the game, so he might have been a little bit apprehensive, but he's 100% this year. So that's one thing that Shikalemi is going to have to do. They're going to have to, they're going to have to be able to stop him. I think Milton graduated a lot of their offensive line. So, even if the Braves have a young defensive line, I think that that'll pretty well even things out. I'm not sure. I know that the quarterback it'll be his first year, and again, I apologize, but that's his brother was the quarterback several years ago, and he's just as good an athlete as his brother. So it'll be interesting. And they do have a new coach, and that means that I think you'll see a lot of enthusiasm, and also. We're going to see probably some offense that we didn't see, I think, when Coach Dettelmoyer was there.
Dave, always a pleasure. It's great to see the season get underway.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that it's here already, and it's something that kind of sneaks up on you. So hopefully next week I'll have a little bit more information. I will say this, Steve. In the scrimmage on Saturday morning, Shikalemi has tri-scrimmage with Hughesville and Montoursville. They held their own. They scored, I believe, three touchdowns, and all the three teams were pretty evenly matched. So they didn't have the numbers weren't great, but the kids that played well. So I'm optimistic, and I'll say this right now. Whoever scores that first touchdown is going to have a big advantage for the rest of the game.
Always a pleasure, my good friend. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Dave Ritchie, the chief. We talk about Shikalemi. So now I wait for Todd to guide me to the next.
We have Coach Steve Briggs ready
to talk about
Sealands Grove.
Yep. Steve, how you been?
Hey, Steve. It's going great. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks so much for your time today. Appreciate it. So, Steve, let's Sealands Grove, year in and year out, puts together a really solid team. And some of them are better because they have a championship-level type of team. And some years they're good and they're a playoff-level team. In the preseason, has this team shown you something that makes people think it's a cut above?
Well, first off, first time in a while, it's a new regime. Matt Wenrick takes over. Matt was an assistant at Milton, played at Bloomsburg, young guy. He was a big part of the state championship team back in 2009. Terrific young guy, great football mind. So we're all excited to see what's happening. Last week, the Seals were up in Wilkes-Barre area taking on Wyoming Valley West. Watched the tape. I wasn't there. Did a lot of good things. Did some suspect things, as you would imagine, with a, mm-hmm. with a new group. But I'll say right now, I don't know if there's a better staff that Matt put together in the state of Pennsylvania. He's got his quarterback coach is a very successful former Milton head coach, Phil Davis. His linebacker coach is former PA Coach of the Year a couple times, a state title head coach, Dave Hess, who we all know at Sealands Grove. And you may remember the defensive coordinator, Ryan Kaiser, played safety
sure.
at Penn State. So
sure do.
Also a member of the 2009 Sealands Grove title team. So staff is phenomenal. And frankly, I coached college for a long time. I don't know if I had ever had a staff that successful and certainly something Matt's going to be able to lean on. It's a good group. The defensively, I think it's going to be the strength. Returns, I think 6, 7, 8 guys that played a ton of from a year ago defensively. And, you know, the Seals had a terrific year last year, went all the way to mm-hmm. the state semifinal and lost to a great Aliquippa team. So a lot of these guys, had another year of practice after the regular season because they went and played 15 games. So, as you mentioned, Steve, it's a program. It's a championship caliber group. At least the emphasis each year is a terrific winning program, and that we're expecting nothing but the same this year under Matt Wenrick.
More often than not, Sealands Grove, you know, while being a fine all-around team, has usually been a really good offensive team. What do you see at quarterback? What do you see with this offense, especially with the new regime?
Yeah, new quarterback. The Pastore kid graduated a year ago, mm-hmm. but his backup is back. And again, exactly what I just said, played a ton. His name's Rocco Amato. We're all excited to see what Rocco can do. He's an athlete, throws the ball well, but I think the strength of the offense is going to be the running game. Brett Rice is back at tailback. Devin Mitchell back at tailback. Both of those guys played a ton because they sat behind Tucker Teets, who's playing up at Lock Haven right now. Mm-hmm. Tucker broke every rushing record at Sealands Grove in the history of Sealands Grove football. But the interesting thing, and I went through some notes before getting on here, Tucker sat and only played, and get this, 6 games last year in the second half, which is amazing.
Yeah,
that's because, you know, a terrific. I mean, he had 3 touchdowns and. First quarter, many games. So what happened is Rice got a chance to get in, as did Devin Mitchell. They're 2 different type of backs. One's, you know, 5'8", 180 pounds, and can fly, probably the fastest kid on the team. And Devin Mitchell is, 6'1", 205, also a fast kid. Probably a prospect recruitability-wise, at least I would be. Both fullbacks are back. With Ethan Miller and Bullington, great name for a fullback, Bullington. the question's going to be the O-line, where I think they're I'll be corrected on Friday night when I see Pat O'Brien in the booth. But I think they've got to replace four offensive linemen and the tight end. So Gavin Bastian's back, leading receiver. I think the best football player on the team. And they got the younger Teach boy that's going to be a receiver. So he'll be the second one to go with. So certainly it's a good group and an exciting group to watch.
Coach, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for the time. Look forward to talking to you throughout the season.
You betcha. Thanks, Steve. And go Nittany's. Good luck to you guys.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much. Steve Briggs joining us. Ah, yes. And the master of the five handicap, Greg Wetzel, to talk Lewisburg.
Not quite a five handicap.
Where are you right now?
Where am I? I just got off the course.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, where's your handicap right now?
Oh, about 12.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I have a bad knee right now.
Okay.
I'm having some difficulties.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm a 9.8.
It's still fun.
I'm a 9.8. I know you're
What's
shocked.
That?
I said, I'm a 9.8.
Oh, you got me then.
I mean, for the first time in 3 years, I do. I mean, you've been better than me. The last 3 years, you've been way better than me. Not even close.
Well, I'm working on building strength up in my knee, and hopefully that will make some things a little easier for me.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, yep. So Lewisburg, interesting group last year because they may have been one of those teams that was better than their record. When you looked at the scrimmage this time through, what did you like?
Well, the scrimmage, Steve, didn't show a lot because they played a team that was much inferior to them.
Okay.
So they knew that going in, so they worked some younger kids into the scrimmage. So that's one thing. Their quarterback play is going to be key for them this year. Chase Wenrick's back. He started last year. He didn't end up as the starting quarterback, but he's come back. He's improved. He does a lot of good things in practice. It's, you know, when push comes to shove, can he do those same things in a game?
Right.
So those are the things. They offensively and defensively, they control the line of scrimmage. They look good running the ball. They look good passing. Like I said, looking at that scrimmage, you think, man, they're a heck of a football team. But it wasn't the opponent realistically that Coach Wicks wanted to scrimmage. That's who they ended up with. So we'll find out this week a lot more about Lewisburg.
Yeah. When you look at – I thought the defense last year for Lewisburg played pretty well.
They did, yes. That's exactly right.
Yeah. What kind of nucleus do they have there to keep that part of it going, which then gives the offense a better shot?
Their defensive line is back intact.
Yeah.
They have two linebackers back, and they have two defensive backs back. So they're in pretty good shape there. They have to replace two linebackers that graduated that were really good football players. But they have kids that played a lot on defense because Coach Wicks rotates. I would say he plays 22 to 25 kids on defense every game. So he had backups that were getting a lot of experience last year. So even when they were getting beat badly by, say, Southern Columbia or Danville, he was playing those kids in the first, second quarter. So they got some experience. So he feels very comfortable with his defense right now.
So, the opening matchup, always the mystery game. You know, so what do you think are going to be some of the important parts? And in an opening game, how important is it to be the team to score first and play with the lead?
Oh, I think it's huge confidence-wise for both these teams. Line Mountain was 9-3 last year, and they returned a lot of their starters. Lewisburg ended up 6-6. They both lost in semifinals of their respective district tournaments. Line Mountain was in 2A. Lewisburg was in 3A. their quarterback returns. That's where they have some experience. Their top two wide receivers return. But I think the key for this game and watching film, Steve, is Line Mountain's defensive line. Do they have the pressure to put on the quarterback at Lewisburg, and can they stop Lewisburg's running attack? Because Lewisburg's going to be a run-first offense this year. They return their top two running backs from last year, four of their five offensive linemen. So that's going to be that's going to be their bread and butter, realistically, running the football. And if Lewisburg can handle their quickness on the defensive line, I think that will go a long way towards Lewisburg winning the football game.
Always a pleasure. Get that knee taken care of. Need you in top form.
I'm working on it. My wife has me doing physical therapy every other day and then lifted weights the other day. So she's working me.
Yeah, but she wants you to do yard work. She doesn't care about the golf game.
That's true also.
Greg, thanks so much. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Take care, Steve.
Anytime. We'll talk next week. Yep, opening bro. High school roundtable of the season. Here we go. Let's have some fun. Love Friday night. Yeah. Now this week it'll be warm on Friday, but it's not going to be hot. It'll be warm Friday, but it's not going to be hot.
The humidity is the one that's the killer.
Yeah. Wow.
Actually, I'm also quite impressed that I worked all three phone lines without anything going wrong. So good for me.
Well, look, I already think you're top shelf, so don't worry about it. Yeah, it's all good. Hey, we will come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai is 43 new Hyundais away from their all-time sales record through August. With 134 new Hyundais to choose from, plus deep discounts and low interest rates, SMC is going to break this record. Sunbury Motors has 48 2024 Tucson's available, starting at $32,568, or get 1.99% financing for 60 months. Looking for the most versatile compact truck on the planet? Take up to $3,000 off the 2024 Santa Cruz. The Santa Cruz starts at $31,247.
And there's 16 in stock.
Here you go, car buyers. SMC has 11 2024 Elantras with 1.99% financing for 60 months. And Elantras start at just $22,960. If you want to have a fun day, you have to buy a Hyundai. We're breaking the record in August with 43 new Hyundais sold. Hurry in to Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.